like to go on where we left off some weeks ago on the palm tree and the cedar tree. We covered all the palm trees, but we never did cover the cedar trees. In Psalm 92:12, it said, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." And it makes an analogy somewhere or another between the righteous, between God's people, and these two trees. And the only thing that we could observe by this is the nature of the tree and what makes the tree what it is, and how it is that God sees the righteous as these creations that he's made. God likens the righteous to other things that he has made, but God has made many, many trees. Why these? There are certain things about their nature and their makeup and their constitution and the whole thing about them that reminds the Lord of the righteous. And the flourishing is that it will go well with them. One thing about the palm tree and the cedar is they're both fighters. They both make it through thick and thin. But we've covered the palm tree mainly. I'd just like to bring an introduction on the cedar, and that it's a type of the Christian, being an evergreen, also beautiful, aromatic. There's still existing groves in Lebanon that this is referring to. There's a part not far from the sea in the valley of Kedisha by the river of Syria, about 15 miles from the sea, at about 6,500 feet of elevation. There's still a grove of these humongous cedar trees. First thing I'd like to mention about the cedar trees is it's very long-lived. And when God sees the righteous, he sees eternity in them, because he has promised us eternal life. The righteous shall live forever. And so in the likeness of the righteous, in the flourishing of the righteous, the cedar is a type of this abundant life, of this eternal life that God gives his children to possess. There are perhaps a dozen of these very old trees still in existence. They are as large as 63 feet in girth and 90 feet tall. Some have attained the age of 2,000 years of age, which means that when Jesus was born, these trees were born and they're still existing. That's out of Johnson's Encyclopedia, by the way. And the Lord himself filling it with sap, which keeps its heart warm and its bough strong. Very few trees have long lived. We saw some long-lived trees, the redwoods in California. But the cedar is a tremendous tree, that its branches really reach out, which is a worldwide vision. And they come out from very low. Remember that the palm tree was just the opposite. The palm tree grows and it throws off its growths and just leaves a ring to remind us of what used to be, but it continues upward and its glory, it's in its crown. Whereas with the cedar, it is well planted from well down below. And one thing I can say about this cedar is that it's not so tall that it's inaccessible to people or to be a shelter to them in times of storm or from the hot sun or the terrible things that happened out in nature. The palm tree, you know, you have to either get a ladder or be a good climber to get any of its fruit that's always up there, heaven reaching. Whereas the cedar tree has a way of being earthbound. Now, let me say this, that I think this brings a beautiful balance as why God brought these two trees to bear, because God doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded we're no good to earth at all. And some people get so religious that they're up there in the sky by and by, and they forget to be down here on earth where we all live, you know. Sometimes I've had to talk with some of these people, and it's just hard to relate with them because they're in some other dimension other than the one I seem to live in. And so it's hard to relate. But God sees us as a combination of both things. These two trees are basically the balance for one another, because the cedar trees has very long branches down below. They're low enough to where you can reach. They're accessible. Their fruit or their cone is everywhere, not just up in the top, but it's everywhere. These cedar trees, when they present these shelters, what comes to mind is a vision that was given to a little boy. He's actually a prophet. In the southern part of Argentina, his name is Pablo Lai, and he was telling us of one of the first visions he had as a child, and he was very clear in all his visions. He had open visions. He didn't have to be sleeping, but this particular time he was sleeping as a child. He saw in his dream the tree that he always used to go to when he was a little child at the back of their property, but it had fruit that he loved to eat. But in his dream, this tree, the same tree in the back of his property, had grown very tall, and he couldn't reach the tree. He couldn't reach the fruit. He couldn't reach the branches. He couldn't even reach the branches to climb in it. It was different than the one he had in the backyard, although it was the same tree, and he saw himself terribly miserable because he couldn't eat the fruit, and he felt very hungry. And upon awakening out of his dream, the Lord spoke to him and told him that he was going to have a worldwide ministry, which he has now as grown up, and that God didn't want him to become so important to himself and so unreachable and so untouchable that people couldn't come and eat of the fruit of his tree, and that God wanted him to be very down to earth, although he had a very heavenly vision of ministry. And his ministry would be very high, but God wanted him to be very low, to be accessible to people. This vision that he had and the story that he told me reminded me of the cedar tree quality, because the cedar tree is very accessible, whereas the palm tree is not. Everything that it has is up in the air. And we saw all the beauty of the palm tree, and we spoke of all the positives of it. Now we're talking about the balance of it, that God wants us to be both things. God wants us to be ever reaching to the heights. He wants us to be flexible. Everything that the palm tree is, God sees in us and wants of us, but also he wants to see in us some of the things of the cedar. The cedar, because its branches reach out so much, so do its roots. Its roots go very deep and very broad. The cedar tree shoots out branches at 10 feet from the ground or less and begins from there on up. They are large and almost horizontal. Its leaves are about an inch long. They're slender and straight, growing in tufts. And the tree bears a small cone like that of a pine tree. The beauty of the cedar consists in the proportion and symmetry of its wide-spreading branches and cone-like top. Different than the palm tree that's small on the bottom and big on the top, this thing is big on the bottom and small on the top, just like a Christmas tree. And so its conical shape reminds us that it too points toward heaven, but it has a lot more to offer the earth. It has a lot more to offer earthly creatures. And so all the animals can come, and in storms they can come and they can shelter under these big, huge trees whose long limbs will protect them from the rain, the storm, the wind, and the snow and the ice. And it will catch these freezing drops of water coming down and trap the ice in its limbs so that it doesn't come upon those that are protected underneath. Whereas they would be hard-pressed to be protected by a palm tree. They would just get the fierceness of the storm. And so that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be those people that can be around to where we can be of shelter to others and of help to others in times of their storms in life. I'd like to just give us God's description of the cedar tree. In Ezekiel chapter 31, God describes the cedar tree. "Behold, I will liken you," and now this time he's talking about Assyria. He said, "I will liken you to a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with forest-like shade and of high stature, with its top among the thick boughs, even among the clouds." That means they're very tall. "And the waters nourish it. The deep made it grow tall. Its rivers ran around about its planting, sending out its streams to all the trees of the forest." That is to other nations, because it's speaking of Assyria. "Therefore, it towered higher than all the trees of the forest. Its boughs were multiplied and its branches became long, because there was much water when they were shot forth. All the birds of the heavens made their nest in its bough, and under its branches all the wild beasts of the field brought forth their young, and under its shadow dwelt from all the great nations. Thus was it beautiful in its greatness, in its length of its branches, for its roots was made deep and strong. By many and great waters they were made strong. The cedar in the garden of God could not hide. The cypress trees did not have boughs like it. and the plane trees did not have branches like it, nor was any tree in the garden of God like it in its beauty. I made it beautiful with the multitude of its branches, so that all of the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied it." Now this is God's description of the cedar tree. Now, if you stop and think that the righteous shall flourish like the cedar tree, that God sees us as a cedar tree, this is quite a description, especially when you get to the place where it says, "I made you beautiful with the multitude of your branches," what that means, with the extensions out of your life, with you reaching out in your life, so that all the trees of Eden, so that all the rest of the peoples of the earth in the gardens of God would envy you. In other words, the people of God would be envied by the people of the world, because God would make them people who reach out. And you know, we reach out in all kinds of ways. Satellite, radio, or through books, or through whatever. We are extending ourselves all over the world. Do you know that Christianity is so different than the Jewish nation's religion? Do you know that the Jewish religion does not proselyte? They do not want to make anybody else a Jew. On the contrary, if you were a Jew by birth, you were fortunate. If you weren't a Jew, they didn't want you being a Jew. You were a pig, basically. You were considered second class, third class, fourth class, or no class at all. And so the Jewish people don't proselyte. In their religion, they don't seek to find any other seekers or any other person joining them. Whereas Christianity is just the opposite. Because they took on the nature of the palm tree, we have taken on the nature of the cedar. We have reached out to all the world around us, and God has made us great in our stature and beautiful in a sense, and we have something to give the rest of the world. We want as many people in the world to be like us, because we have a way of reaching down into a river of God that flows from the very throne of God into the root of our system, which is the book of the Bible, and God nourishes us and we become strong. So there's a lot of beautiful analogies of the cedar tree. The cedar tree, number three. The cedar tree braves all types of storms, remaining firm, strong, and upright during strong gusts of wind. Contrary to the palm tree, which remains flexible, the cedar remains rigid and immovable. And that's a good thing, because when it comes to circumstances in life, God wants us to be flexible. But when it comes to be rooted and grounded in our faith, God wants us unmovable. God wants us so rooted in our faith, so strong, that all of the trials of life, all the hardships of life that come to us, whether through sickness or death or tragedy or sorrow or grief or whatever comes to us, we remain strong. We're unmovable. We remain firm. We fight these storms and we don't even bend before them. We don't even acknowledge that they exist. During hurricanes, we laugh at them because we remain strong. That's the cedar nature in the Christian. Thank God for that. Number four, the cedar can survive all types of weather, drought or floods, hot summers or icy cold winters. It can grow near the eternal snows on the mountaintops or grow in the valleys. Listen, I'm telling you, there are times where there are moves of God in revival. We enjoy these. We love these. These are times of rain and refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But hey, if those times don't exist, we do just as good in drought. Why? Because we have streams that no one knows of that lie deep within us. There is a stream in the river of God. We know where to go to get it. We have our own personal river of God. We don't need to live during times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord all the time. Do you know that there's a lot of Christians that haven't learned to be cedars? They depend on the rain. They depend on the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. When there's times where God is moving and the meetings, they don't have to go after it. They don't have to learn how to go after God and how to find Him. They just wait till it finds them. But those people are very wishy-washy, you know. They're not firm. The cedar tree can do in all kinds of weather. They can do in all kinds of situations where there's drought. We're not talking storms here. We're not talking difficulties and trials. We're talking now the drought or the flood. Times of God's real move or times where He's not moving at all. They're still solid. They're still doing fine. They still continue growing. They still stretch out their limbs. Number five, it is well anchored and its roots go deep and wide because these are Christians that have learned to live in the Word. There are many Christians that, like the palm tree, they leave their Bible till it collects dust on the shelf, whereas other people have it in their lap every morning. By that, I mean that they have learned to shoot roots down deep inside their life in God, and they're not easily fooled. These people aren't easily deceived. These people aren't easily carried away because their roots remain very strong. They bear seed in their cones. The cones remained attached to the trees, and each year they reproduce themselves by dropping their seed to the ground and trusting God to raise up a new generation like them. That's an amazing thing. Remember that it said that these trees are plantings of the Lord. He takes care of them. Remember at the very beginning of the series, we talked about the fact that these trees, God takes care of them. It doesn't need a gardener or people to do this. You know, these trees trust God with their future. And that's one thing I think that we all need to learn, because if there's one thing that we all become very distressed and disturbed over is our future. These trees learn how to trust God with their future. Their survival and the future generations that will come after them, they trust the Lord with it. The cedar trees drop their cone and expect God to take care of it from there. The winds have to blow upon it to scatter the seed. Then God has to bury it through heavy rains and storms that come and soften the ground. Then hail has to come down pounding on it to drive it into the ground. Then sun has to warm the temperature of the ground up to make it germinate. And then God has to rain some more so that the roots can take place. And then all through its life, God's got to take care of it and make it grow. And they just sit there pretty, looking and watching their little babies grow all by themselves. And watch how God was faithful to all his promises to their life. The cedar tree has totally different properties than that of the palm tree. But God likes to see both these properties in our life. God likes to see us trusting him for our future and for the future generations that will come after us. Many ask, Lord, maybe I didn't leave any sons or daughters behind me, spiritual sons or spiritual daughters. Well, God can raise them up from nowhere. He could have left some word, some little seed you left dropped in the ground somewhere in some nation, and someone got a hold of it long after you were gone, and it germinated, and life came through it, and all that came out of that was given to you. How many people have had tremendous experiences with God and come alive to God through something that Spurgeon wrote, you know, several hundred years ago? He's got many sons and daughters he never knew he had. The first part of six I'm going to divide in two. A and B. A, the wood of the cedar has always been highly prized, much more than all the others. It is hard, it is close-grained, it takes a high polish. It is full of resin, that is sap, which preserves it from rot and from worms. That's why they use it for siding on houses. Its wood is remarkable because of its durability. It carries the majestic, rich grain hidden beneath the rustic bark of its humility. The beauty of its grain is only revealed after the skilled hands of the master carpenter. So that brings me to the second part of this sixth point, and that's that the beauty is within, contrary to the palm tree whose beauty is in its crown and in its head visible to all the world. The beauty basically is not just only in the outward, but it hides the main beauty inside. Do you know that this beauty can only be seen after it is cut? There has to be a process of cutting it and destroying it before the beauty that's hidden inside of it can be seen. That's why the Lord says to so many, it shall not be known, it can't be seen yet, what you shall be, but when you see him, you shall be like him. God has put his beauty inside of us, and only when you're cut off from this world will you ever be able to understand the beauty that's there within you. And there's tremendous use of that beauty that's within you. It's not just to be looked at. That beauty is to be used. In the hands of the master, wonderful and lovely things are made out of the cedar. It has a beauty that is rivaled by none. Its gorgeousness is only revealed in the hands of the Master Carpenter. And who is the Master Carpenter but Jesus? Number 7, the cedar is also mentioned in the cleansing rites of Israel. Leviticus 14:4 says, "Cleanse the leper was sprinkled with the blood of a clean bird into which had been put cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop." In Numbers 19, verse 6, cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet were to be cast into the holocaust of a red heifer. In the ceremonial cleansing of the leper under the law, cedar was to be used to sprinkle the unclean. In Hebrews 9, verse 13, it says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purifying of the flesh, how much more then the blood of Jesus?" And so, although it is the blood of Jesus that purifies, in the Old Testament, it needed to have cedar. There was a quality of cedar that purifies, doesn't just cleanse like water. Water will wash, but with the cedar included, there is a deeper cleansing. And so God wanted to include some property of the cedar in the cleansing of the leper. And I believe that the reason God sees in all Christians and we flourish as the cedar is that God has put in each one of us that property that allows us to be cleansed from all of the filthiness of life. God says, "I have cleansed you by the word that I have spoken, but you need but to only wash your feet." And so I believe that there is a part of the cedar that we need. Number 8, the cedar hides its beautiful aroma until wounded or pierced. There's something about the cedar that only when it's cut and only when it's wounded will it reveal to you the beauty of its aroma. Although there is like a pine-like smell to a cedar outside, the beauty can only be revealed when the cedar has been wounded. You see, that cedar had to be cut down, but even after dead, it has a beautiful aroma. Even after dead, it continues to distill the aroma and the beauty of life. It just doesn't give up, even after dead. There are times in our life when we've been cut down, when there's been circumstances where the Master Carpenter has chosen to wound us to make us into something better. And there is a fragrance, no one like Jesus the cedar, that to this day has the aroma in his life, that beautiful aroma that attracts you to it. There's something about when you smell the cedar, it draws you to it. Jesus has that fragrance. And you would think that after he was beaten like he was, after he was tortured by human beings, he would hate human beings. But yet he has the attractive aroma of the cedar, that no matter how he was cut down, no matter how he was wounded and bruised, out of it and forth from it came an aroma that is pleasing. Another thing about the cedar tree, it never lets go of its aroma. We purchased this item in Texas from some Indians that did the work from these aromatic cedars, and that had to have been 15 years ago. And they had made it a few years before that. And the tree has been dead many years before that. I would say at least a quarter to half a century, these trees have been dead. And tell me if the aroma has abated. It still is strong. And it doesn't matter how long it lasts, the aroma will always last. Doesn't matter how old you get or how difficult life has become, there is an aroma that Christian cedars will provide for those that are around him. I've been around people that distill a smell. I've been around people that don't bathe. I've been around people that are street dwellers. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between their smell and this fragrance. This fragrance attracts you to it. And the beauty of it is that it won't give it up unless it's wounded. Points that we've made today of the cedar are very well worth taking and remembering, that God says that we're going to flourish as both of them in the courts of the Lord. the properties of everlasting life and abundance of life, the property of being able to shelter others and help them in their storm, because the Bible says, as we've been comforted, so will we comfort others. And so just understand that when God made us, He made us with beautiful properties. And when God was describing the cedar tree in Ezekiel, remember He was describing you. He was describing the fact that as far as He was concerned, He made us the most beautiful of all His creation. And that there's properties of us that are just like Jesus.